Good morning, Cape Town. I am Mutahid Wiene and I'm a young reporter for RX Radio. In our last interview with Lucy Jemison from the Children's Institute of the University of Cape Town, she spoke to us about the children's right to give consent about what happened to them when they are hospitalised. Today we have her once again to continue a talk about consent, but first we would like you to give a short recap of what the previous interview was about. Good morning, Lucy. Hope you're good. Great to have you in studio here today.
It's a pleasure to be back. So in the last program, we looked at children's rights and remembering that they have the right to health care and health care services when they come to hospital, but also have to respect their rights to information, privacy, confidentiality, and their right to participate in decisions, and the right to family care, which means they've got the right to be supported by adults and to have contact with their adults in their life. Then we looked specifically at which decisions can children make. So from 12, they can decide if they have the capacity to do so about medical treatment and surgical operations and consent to contraceptions. Below 12, if they're mature enough to understand the decision they're making, they can consent to HIV testing. But we don't want to burden with children with decisions that they're not ready for, so we have to check that they have the experience and the capacity to make those decisions.
In a case of a teenage mother who is under the age of 18, could she give consent for her baby if anything should happen?
So when a young mother has a child, the same rules apply as if the mum was given consent for herself. So remember I said to you that we try and protect children, we give them as much responsibility as possible, but we protect them from too large a burden. So if you've got a 17-year-old mum who's got to make decisions about treatment or surgery for her baby, then we have to say, well, is that 17-year-old mum mature enough to understand the risks and benefits of the decision, and not just the medical implications, but social and other implications of the treatment? So we test. We say, yes, she can, but only if she can understand the decision. And again, when it comes to surgery, like I said, if she were deciding for herself, she would have to have her parents involved to support her. So granny or granddad would have to be there to help guide her and help her make the decision, whether it's for herself or for her baby.
Can a teenage mom, parent or grandmother give consent for the baby with or without her permission?
So that's a thing that happens quite a lot as well, is that granny might come to the clinic or the hospital with baby. And in the first instance, what the law says is that we must ask the parent and that we can only allow granny to give consent if mum can't. So if granny's there on her own, you try and get mum on the cell phone. We want to empower mum to look after baby and to make the right decisions. But if mum's not capable, if she doesn't understand the decision or she's not there, then yes, granny is a legal guardian to that child and she can make the decision, but we should try and include mum.
If the father has a different surname to the child, could he still give consent on what happens to the child?
Most of the children who are born today, their mums and dads aren't married. So it's very common that children don't have the same surname as their dad. But that doesn't matter in terms of making legal and medical decisions. What matters is if dad is considered in law to be a parent. Now, your dad is your dad, and most of us look at the relationship that we have with our parents to determine, you know, whether this person's your dad. Is he there? Is he looking after you? Does he contribute to your cost of caring for you? Is he a regular part of your life? Is he recognized? Is his name on the birth certificate? And the law does the same. And it says, you know, it doesn't matter whether dad was married to mum, whether they've got the same name or not the same name. It matters that he's actually being a dad to the child. And if he's fulfilling all of those functions, then he can make decisions about his child's medical treatment or surgery.
In a case where the child doesn't have a mom or a dad, or they cannot come with the child to see the doctor, what happens?
So again, it's about, first question is, can they, the child, consent for themselves? Now, here at Red Cross, and in most clinics, we're dealing with young children under the age of 12, and they can't legally consent for themselves. What the Children's Act says is that we must try. We must take reasonable steps to get hold of the parent or guardian. So if the child comes in with a sister or an auntie or a granny, we must see if we can phone mum or dad and try and get hold of them and involve them in decision. Parents also have a right, just as a child's got a right to information. The parents, the mum and dad's got a right to know what's happening to their child as well. So we must try and inform them and try and involve them in the decision. But if they're not available, then yes, granny, sister, aunt, whoever is looking after the child, the caregiver, can make a decision and consent to treatment, but not surgery. Surgery is deemed to be a very serious, weighty decision. So caregivers can consent to medical treatment, but they cannot consent to surgery. For that, you need a parent or a legal guardian.
So you said caregivers could consent. Could you tell the listeners what a caregiver is?
Okay, so a caregiver is someone who actually looks after the child. So as I said, that could be granny, it could be aunt, it could be a sibling, it could be a teacher. If a child is in a child and youth care center, a children's home, it could be one of the members of staff that are looking after them there. Or it could be a foster parent. So if a child has lost both of their parents and they've been placed by the court in the care of another relative or someone that's looking after them, a caregiver just means that they are, you know, the day-to-day person that cares for the child.
Could you briefly explain what a foster mom is?
A lot of children in this country have lost one or both of their parents. And when a child is orphaned, they can be placed by the court in the care of another person. Or it could be when the child's been orphaned, it could be when a child has been abused or neglected. But for whatever reason, when the parents aren't able to look after the child and a family member doesn't come forward to look after them informally, the courts or the social workers can place a child in foster care. So that means that someone's actually given the legal responsibility to look after and care for a child. That's what a foster parent is.
Are parents and caregivers allowed to refuse treatment? On what grounds are these?
When you have the right to give consent, you've also got the right to refuse. But remember, when parents are making decisions, they're making decisions on behalf of someone else. So the law says we've got a responsibility to make sure that it's not an unreasonable refusal. And it would be unreasonable if it's considered that they're refusing on cultural or religious grounds. So, for example, if a child needs to go on some form of chemotherapy for cancer treatment, and the parents said, no, we want to call in the Sangoma or the traditional healer, that's not a reasonable alternative. But, for example, some people in South Africa are what are called Jehovah's Witnesses. And as part of their religion, they're not supposed to take blood from another human being. So they will often refuse to have a blood transfusion. Now, in some circumstances, there are medical alternatives. There are machines in big hospitals that allow you to do bloodless surgery. So they could refuse to the transfusion if there's an acceptable alternative. But if there isn't a medical alternative, they're not allowed to refuse. And in that case, either the Minister of Social Development or the court can say the decision was unreasonable and we are going to consent on behalf of that child.
Is there any serious precautions that could take place if parents, guardians or caregivers refuse consent?
Most people want the best for their child. And if they're refusing to give consent, it's usually for a very good reason. Now, that reason might be because, as with the child, they don't fully understand the procedure, or they're frightened about the risks of a particular procedure. And in which case, we can counsel them, we can give them more information, but we can't necessarily wait too long. We have to keep monitoring, well, what's in the best interests of the child? You know, and the best interest is that everybody is fully informed and that they support and they agree with the course of action that's been decided or offered by the medical team. That's the top goal. So getting them on board, giving them the information. But sometimes parents will refuse because they're fighting between themselves. So mum wants one thing and dad wants another. And that's not in the best interest of the child. So again, we would give them the space to try and resolve their issues. But the medical team has to think, well, what do we do? What's in the best interest of the child? They've recommended a course of treatment. Mum has said yes. There's a fight between the parents. We want to try and avoid that. But if we can't, we can go forward with the consent of mum, because we only need one parent to say yes, and we will deal with the conflict separately. We're always putting the child's best interest first. And although that's complicated, because the medical decision is important, but remember the child has a right to family care too. So we want to also manage the situation so that parents get on and support the child and are supporting the medical team with the way forward and the decision that's been made.
Before we round off the interview, is there anything else you'd like to share with the listeners?
When we're making decisions, we're often doing it under stress. Both the parents, because they're worried about what's happening to the child, and the medical team, because these days we are under enormous pressures, we've got big workloads. And it's really important to take the time to make sure that everyone understands, and the goal is to get everyone supportive and on board with the decision so that we are sure that we are making the best choice for the child at the time. So slow down, take time, make sure everybody knows what's going on and really understands the decision that's in front of them.
So there you have it, straight from Lucy herself. You're listening to RX Radio. Thank you for tuning in.